Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that is here. And we do welcome you, and we pray that the Lord will bless you as you're amongst us and here in God's house today. Let me just go through the announcements as briefly as I can. Do remember that today, we pushed it back by a week. Today is a return offering for the building fund. And if you have any gifts to bring in towards the building fund, then we do encourage you to leave them in throughout today. The evening service at 7 p.m. and we do invite and encourage each one to be found once again in the house of the Lord this evening. And remember as well a season of prayer at 6:30, and it'll be up in the minor hall this evening. And so then the meetings throughout the week. Monday night continues the work amongst the children at 7 p.m. Pray for that, and even as the rehearsals and getting ready for the parents' night in the month of April, do pray for the children and for the leaders as we endeavour to get those children ready and get the wee program together for that night. Wednesday night, the Bible study and the prayer meeting here in the church at 8 p.m. And we do invite and encourage each and every one to come and to study God's word and to come around the throne of grace together, young and old alike. Be good to see you gathering to God's house and having that fellowship with God's people here every Wednesday evening. Friday night will be the youth fellowship once again at 8 p.m. And young people, we're going from page 101 to 125 in the book. And we look forward even to seeing you on Friday evening for the youth fellowship. The service is next Sunday, commencing with the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30. And then services 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both services. And God willing, I'll be here to conduct both meetings. Then a number of other announcements. Firstly, on behalf of Consider Christ, their outreaches in the south are commencing again. The first one will be Saturday the 26th of March, next Saturday, and it's taking place in Cavan Town. Now, if you'd like to go along, be part of those outreaches and distributing literature around all of the homes, then do get in contact with the Reverend Jonathan Crane. There is a sheet or a notice out there on the board, and his contact details are on that sheet. Can we mention then on behalf of Presbytery that it has been passed and decided the Easter Convention will be recommencing again this year after being off for the last 2 years, and there will be just two meetings this year. Friday the 15th of April will be the Youth and Missionary Evening there in the Martyrs, and then on the Monday, Easter Monday, there will just be the one service this year. And it will be in the evening time around, I think it's 7 p.m. Monday the 18th of April. And so we do lay those meetings before you. We do encourage you, if you can, to go along. They're always blessed times. Certainly times of good fellowship around God's word and even meeting up with other believers as well. And we do encourage you to set aside those meetings if you can and those times to go along and to be part of them. Can we mention that the offering for the Ukraine Relief Fund last Sunday and the previous Wednesday as well came to a total of £1,300. We do want to thank each one sincerely in the Saviour's name for your very kind giving towards the work. It has been encouraging, even the spirit of giving within this congregation towards missionary work and even within the local church treasury here. We do thank you for your giving. We encourage you to keep giving and keep supporting the work both here in the church and also the mission works as we have those opportunities to do so. We do extend sympathy to the Jervis family and the recent passing of Peter's Aunt Pearl, and we do pray that the Lord will sustain and be near to the family at this time. On behalf of Auchnacloy, there is a ladies' meeting tomorrow night, Monday night at 8 p.m, and a special speaker is Mrs. Vi Dawson. And ladies, you'll be welcome over there if you can get along to that meeting in Auchnacloy. Now, just two other announcements. Firstly, mentioned on Wednesday night, we have some of these little pamphlets for children that have been produced by one of the local ministers from our brother. It was the Reverend McIntyre over in Clocker Valley. We've put them in around some of the local schools, and there's some left on the table out there if you'd like one. They're done in a child format, and if you have any children, grandchildren, maybe we neighbours that wouldn't be in the local schools, do take some of these with you and pass them on. It brings to the children who Patrick really was and how he wasn't what is being billed in these days, but rather he was a preacher and a missionary even to the people of Ireland. And so if you can make use of those little booklets, then we do encourage you to do so. And then finally, can we just mention that after the services, I'm happy to shake hands if anyone wants to shake them. I'm not going to put you on the spot and hold out my hand to you in case you're not at that stage yet. But if you want to shake my hand, you put your hand out, I'll shake it. If you don't want to shake my hand, then just smile at me. Hopefully everyone will smile. If you don't smile, well, then I'll just nod and smile at you instead. But I'm happy to shake hands, as I said. Nothing in relation, I check with the officers of presbytery. It's up to individual ministers. And if you want to shake hands again, I'm happy to shake hands as we leave the services. Psalm 51 we'll commence our worship with this morning. We're going to sing the opening seven verses of the psalm together. The page is 48. Psalm 51, the verses 1 to 7. After thy loving kindness, Lord, have mercy upon me. For thy compassion's great, blot out all mine iniquity. Psalm 51, the opening seven verses will stand as we sing. Still ourselves in God's presence, unite together around the throne of grace this morning. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before thee, acknowledging, O God, even as we've just been singing, our iniquities are great. Our sin, O God, is great before thee. Lord, we are born in sin, we are shapen in iniquity. In sin did our mothers conceive us. And yet, O God, even though our sin is great, we rejoice that thy salvation is greater. We rejoice in the grace of God. We rejoice in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. For it cleanseth us from all sin. It blotteth out our transgressions. It washeth us whiter than the snow. And Father, we thank Thee this day for the righteousness of Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for that great and that sweet exchange when Christ took our sin and our sorrow and He imputed to us His righteousness. We thank Thee, O God, this day that we come before Thee and we plead the merits of our Saviour. We rejoice in the One who made that one sacrifice for sin and then sat down at Thy right hand. We thank Thee for the finished work. We thank Thee, O God, this day that it is a perfect work. And that body and that blood which was sacrificed for sin, O Father, it was enough to take our sin and to bear it away. And Father, we thank Thee that the burden has been lifted from us, even at Calvary. We thank Thee, O God, this day that when we have come to the cross and laid our sins upon Jesus, O God, we bear them no more. Lord, even as we're in Thy house today, give us that joy in our hearts. Each one, O God, who is saved, give us joy in our hearts. Give us joy in our faces, joy in our singing, joy even as we read Thy word. And as we hear it preached, O Father, that Thou wilt speak to every heart, that Thou wilt encourage us through Thy word, that as we worship Thee in spirit and in truth, Father, that we will know the blessing of Almighty God upon us. Remember each one that is here. We thank Thee for another week in which Thou hast blessed us. We thank Thee for another week in which Thou hast brought us into. Lord, for the goodness and mercy of God already to us in it, for the many blessings that we have received already this day from the hand of God, we can say, great is Thy faithfulness. And Father, we rejoice in Thee. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless us in this house today. We pray both morning and evening that there will be that sense of Thy nearness. There will be that sense of Thy presence amongst us. And Father, that Thou wilt still every mind and every heart. That Thou wilt work within us. That Thou wilt speak. And above all, that Thou wilt glorify Thy Son. Remember the work amongst the children that was conducted this morning. We thank Thee for each child that was here. We thank Thee once again for Thy servants who minister to them. Bless them in their own souls. Bless them, O God, even as they minister to the children each week. And may that be a word to the children, a word from Thee for their hearts. Save those that are not saved. And Lord, raise up even those that are saved. Raise them up to be strong in the faith for Christ, to have those spiritual backbones to walk with Thee, to talk with Thee, and to live for Thee. Remember, O God, the work tomorrow night in the children. Lord, bless there. Bless as we gather on the Wednesday night for prayer and for Bible study. Bless the youth on the Friday night. And O God, in each and every aspect of this work. And bless each child of God in their daily lives. Lord, may their testimony shine forth for Christ. May they show Christ to each one that they come into contact with. And Father, we pray that in these days, that there will be bright light shining in this community from Thy children. Lord, remember this land. O God, be near to it. We think of the great needs in our land spiritually at this time. We think, O God, even concerning laws that are endeavouring to be brought in this week, O God, that Thou wilt blow upon them, that Thou wilt turn the hand, O God, that Thou wilt turn the hearts of those in authority, and Father, that Thou wilt have mercy upon our land. O God, send us revival. Lord, revive this church, revive all of our churches, revive the pulpits, revive the pews, revive the people of God, and awaken us, O God, and give us those joys in the Lord, that joy of the Lord that is our strength. O Father, we have the right to shout and to sing. O Father, give us backbones. Give us, O God, those lives to live for Thee. Remember us this day for good. And Father, bless, we pray Thee. Bless the needs of this congregation. Remember the physical needs. O Father, we commit those that are sick afresh to Thee. Be near to them. Be near, O God, in these days. Rule and overrule. Work out Thy will, we pray Thee, for them. Remember our elderly as well. Continue to be their portion. Lead them, guide them. And, O Father, be near to them and bless them, I pray Thee. Bless all of this work. Bless all of the families and every individual. O Father, hear prayer, we ask Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hymn 42, we'll sing together. the pages 192, the hymn number 42, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars and I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. Hymn 42, again we'll stand as we sing, please.
I see you.
We'll read together the words of Psalm 131. Psalm 131, very short psalm indeed, just the three verses this morning to read. Psalm 131, another Song of Degrees of David. Verse 1 says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. As a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. What hope have we outside of Christ, even in the days in which we live? With all that's going on, both in this land and around the world, we have no hope outside of God. Our God is the King. He's a sovereign upon the throne. And may our hope ever be in him, both today, tomorrow, and indeed every day to come. We'll sing just a couple of verses of 332. We'll remain seated for the first part of the hymn. 332, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Since Jesus came in to my heart, I have light in my soul, which so long I had sought. Since Jesus came in to my heart. We'll sing the verse 1, the verse 3, and then for the verse 5, we will stand as we sing. Verse 1 and 3, remain seated. Verse 5, we'll stand, please. Let's stand for verse 5, please. I invite you to have your Bible open in the book of Ruth, in the chapter 1 again. The book of Ruth in the chapter 1. Return to our series and gleanings from Ruth. Ruth in the chapter 1, the verse 6, we'll commence that again. And we'll read down to the end of verse 18. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, let's follow the reading together. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, of course speaking of Naomi, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house, the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband, if I should say I have hope. If I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sins, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. When thou diest, or where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his truth. I want to look at these verses this morning under the heading, Genuine Conversion. Genuine Conversion. Let's just still ourselves and look to the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning, even through his word. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the written book. We thank thee, O God, for the word of truth that thou hast given to us from Genesis right through to the end of Revelation. Every single word, every single jot and tittle upon the page, O God, is from thee, inspired of thee. And Lord, we do come to thee therefore. We ask thee that thou wilt now come and speak to our hearts. Fill us with thy spirit to proclaim thy word. Fill thy children with thy spirit to hear thy word, to receive it, to hide it deep in their hearts, and speak to the lost. O Father, whether they be here in this building or online listening, or even at a later date, that they will come in under the sound of thy word. Father, we pray that thou wilt speak. We pray, O God, that thou wilt strive with hearts, save souls. Oh, that there will be those genuine conversions, even in our midst, I ask. Hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were with us the last time that we were in our studies in the book of Ruth, you remember that we looked at this passage. On that particular occasion, we focused our attention upon Naomi. After she had heard that news that there was bread in the land of Israel, that God had visited his people in the town of Bethlehem, she had arisen, she had heeded that word, she had heeded that news, and she had arisen and began her journey homeward. In the midst of doing right by her obedience, we noted the wrongs that she also did. We noted the fact that she tried to conceal her sin. We noted as well her poor counsel, and how she strived with her daughters-in-law to encourage them to return, to stay in their own country, to stay in the place of sin. And then we finished by looking at her complaint. and how she was blaming God for everything that had happened in her life, as if God was the fault, as if God had abandoned her, as opposed to what she and her husband had done to God. But now we return to this passage to focus our attention upon the other two women that are brought to us, Ruth and Orpah. As I said previously, there are two ways to look at this passage. Two very different ways to understand what is being said and why it is being said. In reality, as you look at these two women, there is a very clear gospel message to all of us to understand and to appreciate, even coming from this passage, namely that of genuine conversion. This is still a very real problem and danger in the church today for many who claim to be Christian. There is many who have a mere profession without a possession. Many will claim that they said a prayer when they were children, and they were given a card or they were led and told, just say these words. And so they say these words and they say, well, I'm a saved person. I said a prayer. And yet there's no fruit has ever come from that profession. There's no outward or inward change in their lives. People say they're Christian, people say they know Christ, and yet the truth is it's nothing more than lip service. Christ speaks of such people, Matthew 15, verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, true, genuine conversion is not simply you saying the right words, but rather it is the Lord possessing your heart. That's what he asks and demands, even in Proverbs 23 and verse 26. He says, my son, give me thine heart. In other words, don't just say words. Don't just say words and then go out and keep your heart to yourself. Keep your heart in the world, but rather, my son, give me your heart. If the Lord has your heart, the Lord has your all. If the Lord has your heart, he will have your lips. He will have your words. If he has your heart, he will have your thoughts. So many, as I said, just look at this. Call themselves Christian, say they believe in God. And yet their heart's in the world. No genuine conversion. And we see this truth even being brought to us in this passage through the lives of Orpah and of Ruth. Both start out on the journey. Both get up from that home in which they were living. When Naomi rises, they rise together in unison. And they begin to walk together. But only one will make it. One will turn back. Three things I want to leave with you from this passage. When you see, firstly, their thoughts towards genuine conversion. Their thoughts towards genuine conversion. You'll find it in the verse 7 and also the verse 10. The verse 7 tells us the two daughter-in-laws with her, they went out on their way. And in the verse 10, both of the ladies, both of the women speak, and they said unto her, surely we will return out with thee unto thy people. Naomi heard the news, there's bread in Bethlehem, and there is that immediate desire within Naomi's heart. I want to be there. God has visited his people. I want to return to that place of blessing. I want to return to the God of blessing. I want to return to that place where God is meeting with his people. Where God is at work. Where God is there. And their needs are being met. I want to be there. And these two ladies then also get up. And they're content to go. But they're not going for the bread. They're not going for the God. They're going for the mother-in-law. Their conviction and their burden, their loyalty at that time is this. We'll go to Bethlehem and we're happy to be there. We're happy to stay there. But we're going for our mother-in-law. We love her. We care for her. We honor her. Now, of course, that is commendable in itself, to love, to honor your parents and even your in-laws as well, to show them that love, that care, that respect. But within these two ladies, within these two women, there is no longing for the bread. There is no desire to experience and to enjoy the blessing that God has provided for his people. There is no love either for the God of Israel, and there is certainly no love for the people of Israel. We see that clearly in verse 10. Because in verse 10, both of them say, "We will return with thee unto thy people." Namely, these Israelites, they're your people, they're not ours. We're coming to your town, we're coming to your area, we're willing to live amongst your people, but they'll never be our people. And your God's never going to be our God. We're going there for you, not for the God of blessing. We're going there for you, and at all times we will be Moabites. You can be an Israelite. You can be amongst the Israelite people, but we will never change. We're Moabites. They're your people. In other words, Naomi, we are not giving up on anything that we hold dear. Our gods of Moab are still our gods. Our customs of Moab are still our customs. Our culture from Moab is still our culture. We'll come with you. Yes, we'll be there. We'll be dutiful to you. We'll be loyal to you, Naomi, but we are nothing more than Moabites. We're not turning our backs on who we are. And I believe there is that belief within these two women. They believe they will be accepted because of Naomi. They will be accepted. Oh, you can stay as you are, but you're here for Naomi. That's fine. Come on ahead. Without ever changing. You'll be accepted. Oh, come on and let these two Moabites in. Why? Because of their good works. They're loyal. They're even honoring the fifth commandment. They're honoring the father, the mother. They're giving that place and acceptance. You could say these are two individuals that are legalistic. They're honoring the mother-in-law. Let them in. Even though there is no place given to the God, that covenant God of Israel, that God who's promised to provide every need. You know, too many live in that vein of thought today. Too many believe they will be accepted by God without ever changing. Somehow they can live as they wish, believe what they want, and yet God will accept them. There will be a place for them. There will be a welcome for them. Why? Because they can hold up their hand and they can say, "Well, I did this right and I did that right. I was a dutiful son, I was a dutiful daughter, I was an honest, hard-working individual, I did that which was right in the community, and surely God will accept me." But don't ever ask me to change. Don't ever ask me to give up that which I love of the world. Don't ever ask me to give up that which I love, the pleasures of the world. Here's what God says about such people, about such thoughts. Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You think of that. Imagine Orpah and Ruth both got back to Bethlehem. Without there ever being a change in any of them, imagine both of them went back and their eyes were just fixed completely upon Naomi. "Naomi, wherever you're going, we're going with you." How long do you think it would be before the bitterness towards Israel came into them? How long do you think they would survive living there if all their eyes and attention was just Naomi? And around about them, even as we'll see, as Naomi comes back into that town, the welcome that she's given, the embrace that she's given, the adoration of the people, they come and they welcome her with open arms. Naomi's back. How do you think Ruth and Orpah would have taken to that if they had never changed? How long do you think they would have lasted? Still living with the bitter spirit towards Israelites and towards their God. You cannot serve two masters. You can't love the world and love God. You can't obey the world and also obey God. One master is all you can have. So what are you to do? Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. You have to give your heart to one. If you're unsaved right now, your heart's in the world. Your heart's under the chains and the grip of the devil. It's either a case of you remain there in the world with that sin and that pleasure, and that love and lust for the things of the world, or else you say, Lord, take my heart. It's yours. You can't follow both. You can't serve both. You can either love and follow Christ, or love and follow the world. Ruth and Orpah were wrong to believe that they could do both. My friend, don't make the same mistake. Genuine conversion has no place for parallel living. You can't walk down both roads. There either must be a coming away from the world and the wide path and coming to Christ, or else you remain in the wide path away from Christ. Their thoughts towards genuine conversion. But then secondly, I want you to see the test for genuine conversion. The test for genuine conversion. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 11, right down to 13. All of the words of Naomi, even as she spoke to her daughters-in-law. Now, very quickly, as they made their way out of Moab, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah begin that journey, and they're coming close, I believe, to the border between the two lands. And the further they get away from Moab, the more uncharted territory Ruth and Orpah are coming into. I don't believe they'd ever been in Israel before. I don't believe there was ever a time before that they had entered into that land or experienced what it offered. Right now, as they make that journey away from Moab, they are leaving behind the familiar sights and they are leaving behind the familiar sounds. They are moving towards a people who they do not know and they do not like. They are moving towards a place which they have never had anything to do with. Naomi proceeds to test them. Why are you coming? What is your motivation for leaving Moab behind and coming to Bethlehem? Naomi knew why she was going. Naomi had heard the news. There is bread. God is visiting his people. Naomi's heart was, I long to be there. She knew in her heart, why am I going to Bethlehem? I'm going to be with God. But she wants to know what their motivation is. And so she puts it to them. If you're only coming to Bethlehem for me, I can't offer you anything. If you're only coming for an easier life, if you think that by coming to Bethlehem means that you will be prosperous, you will have a nice house, you will have a nice family, you will have all of your wants and wishes known. If that's the reason for you coming to Bethlehem, I can tell you this, I can't offer you anything. I can't offer you a house. I don't have a husband and I don't have any more children. I can't offer you husbands. I can't offer you a family. I am empty. I have nothing. If you're coming hoping to meet another man, Have all of your relationship issues sorted out by you coming to Bethlehem? I can't promise you that either. All I can offer you is this. Bread. That's all she could offer. She couldn't offer a house. She couldn't offer a husband. She couldn't offer an income. She couldn't offer anything. All she could promise was this. God has visited. There's bread. That's it. My friend, that's the test for every individual. That's the test of true, genuine conversion. Why are you coming to Christ? Why did you get saved? Why did you say a prayer? Why did you profess to be a Christian? If it's any other reason outside of the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it's a false conversion. There are individuals who think becoming a Christian will sort all of their financial worries, all of their job issues. There have been individuals over time in the midst of debt, and they believe, right, okay, if I become a Christian, then God's going to smile upon me. God's going to favor me. All of my debt's going to be cleared. All of the financial issues that I have, even the health worries, I've bad health. I'll pray. I'll promise the Lord, Lord, heal me, and I'll follow you. And so I'll become a Christian because then God will restore me to health. You know, there have been those even that have made false professions, professions of faith, simply for the sake of a relationship. Boy, go me a girl. One's saved, one's not. And so the one that's not makes a profession. Oh, I'm saved. Just so the marriage can go ahead. And yet it's an empty profession. There have been individuals over times that have started out in the journey of being a Christian for self-centered desires, hoping that God would sort things out if they just come to him. What did Christ say? Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. You want to be truly saved, it's not about what you get out of being a Christian. It's not about what you hope to get. It's about following Christ, giving your all to him. You remember the rich young ruler came to Christ and he asked the Lord, he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's a young man that had everything. He had all of the wealth, he had all of the authority, he had all of that power and that even prestige within his town. Everyone looked at him, he's a rich young ruler, he's everything going for him. And he came and he asked the Lord, how do I get eternal life? How do I get that, even that promise of going to heaven? Christ put him to the test. You want to be saved? You get rid of all of the money. You give it all up. You sell all that you have. You distribute to the poor. What happened to the young man? He went away very sorrowful. Why? He was very rich. He thought, oh, I just want my money. But I want eternal life. God said, the Lord said to him, you really want to be saved? Then that love for your money has to go. That love for the fame has to go. That love for the place, the prestige, that love for the authority, even over others, that has to go. You want to be saved? You need to give it up. There's the test. You know, that test has been put to individuals time and again. That young ruler, he failed the test. Demas, who followed Paul, failed the test. He left Paul, having loved this present world. Judas Iscariot failed the test. He loved the money. Even though for 3 years he walked with Christ, even though for those 3 years he followed the Lord everywhere, he heard the sermons the Lord preached, he saw the miracles the Lord accomplished, and yet it came to that moment, the test was there. Are you taking the money or are you following Christ? Judas took the money. And here Orpah, on that road to Bethlehem, the test is put to her. Orpah, I can't promise you one thing. Only bread. Are you willing to come for just bread? She says, no. Mother-in-law, I love you, but goodbye. I want the world. Tell me, are you willing to give up all? Are you willing to surrender all for Christ? Regardless what it costs you, whether it costs you friends, whether it costs you money, whether it costs you employment, whether it costs you family, whether it costs you even health, are you willing to give up it all for Christ? One final thing I want to leave with you as our time comes to an end. Looked at the thoughts, we've looked at the test. Verse 16-17, when you see the triumph of genuine conversion. The triumph of genuine conversion. Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. My, what a wonderful confession of faith is uttered by Ruth. I can even see that moment, whenever the Lord opened her heart. You can see it there, the verse 14. Ruth kissed her mother-in-law, Orpah kissed the mother-in-law, and she turned and she walked away. And in that moment, Ruth cleaves. The heart's opened. The surrender is made. Her back is now completely to Moab. It's gone. And the first word she speaks is this: Ruth, your God's now my God. All those idols that I grew up believing in Moab, all of that custom and culture, all of those sacrifices, everything that I believed in up until this very moment, Naomi, it's gone. Your God, that covenant God, the one that you believe created this whole world, the one that's put in place the sacrifices and has taught you even of the coming of the Messiah, the one who will come, I believe in him. What a statement that was for a Moabite to make. To turn away from everything in an instant. To turn away from her people in an instant, to turn away from her gods in an instant, to turn away from that sectarianism, that hatred even towards both the God of Israel and the people of Israel. She turns away from everything in a moment. That's the power. That's the victory of genuine conversion. That's the power of the gospel. That a sinner who loves the world, a sinner who loves their sin, in an instant can go from death to life, in an instant can go from blindness and the darkness of sin to realizing and accepting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the gospel of God can do that. To set aside every thought of self, what self has done, to rather trust completely upon what Christ has accomplished. To surrender their entire faith, their entire ideologies, their entire desires, and to surrender it all to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To say, his death is all I need. for my sins to be forgiven. His resurrection is all I need to have life everlasting. I don't need all of the confessions and the confirmations and the baptisms and all of those other things. All I need is Christ. He's done it all. Ruth surrendered everything. Your God, my God. No thought even of worldly pleasures and comforts. She says in that verse, wherever you lodge, I lodge. I don't care what size of a house you get, Naomi. I don't care if we've one room between the two of us or if it's even a stable, if we can't even find a home. Wherever you're laying down your head at night, I'm happy to do the same. I'm not in this for the fancy house, the grand lifestyle. And all hatred is gone. Ruth, a new creature in Christ Jesus, she says, your people's now my people. Even though I once hated the children of God, I now love them. And I now embrace them. Those that I wanted nothing to do with, now they're my brethren. Now they're my sisters. Now I want to be with them. I want to live among them. See, that's the triumph of genuine conversion, even down to the very detail of fellowshipping with God's people. She was not going to Bethlehem to hide away in a house. She was going with that desire. Your people are now my people. I'm coming into that community. I want to be part of the Israelite people. I want to be immersed in everything of them. I want to be with them, talking with them, living amongst them. She wanted God's people and only God's people. Notice that she never wanted once to say, I want to go back and see my friends. I want to keep holding on to my people of Moab. She says, no, the people of God, the children of God, the Israelites, they're now mine. That's all I have. Christian today, what about you? You're saved, truly saved. Where's your desire for fellowship with God's people? Older person as well. It's the family of God. We come together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Meetings for young people on the Friday night. The opportunity of God's people to be fellowshipping together. Younger person, older person, where are you? Where's your desire for God's people? To be amongst them. To be with them. Wednesday night, I mentioned it before, since lockdowns have come and gone, the amount of the prayer meeting is greatly reduced. There is different reasons. I understand that there are health issues that have come in. Some have got older with age, unable to come. I completely understand that. But how many are taking the easy option? Saying, I'll sit at home. Tune in for a bit. If I don't like it, I'll turn it off. You do realize that's the wrong way to approach the opportunity for God to speak to you. The online means is there for those who physically cannot be here. And we are so happy to be able to provide that for those that physically can't be here. That they can still be part and here. But see, for those that physically can be and they're sitting at home and they're in control, that they can just turn the man off if they don't like him. Don't like the doctrine that's being covered that night, or don't like what God's saying through his word, and it's hitting him a wee bit, pricking him a wee bit. No, we'll turn on someone else, hopefully get a more happier message. That's not God. That's not you allowing God to speak to you. That's God's. That's you saying to God, no, I don't want to hear that. And turn on over. Fellowshipping with God's people means coming together in God's house, around the Word of God together, that God would speak to us individually and collectively together. That we come to the house together, we leave together, we pray together, we praise together. That God's people are God's people together. Ruth embraced everything that was to come for the children of Israel. She says the sacrifices, that's what she's saying. Whenever she says, your people are my people, your God's my God, she's saying every part of your worship, all of the sacrifices, the special days in Israel, the Passover feast, the Day of Atonement, all of those different times, whenever you come together for the special feast, and all of the sacrifices, the blood even being offered by the priest, all of the prayers, every part of it, I'm taking it all. I want to be a part of it all. And I want to be with your people. That's the mentality. That ought to be the living, the realization for all of God's people. This is where we are. Together. Worshipping as one man under one head. Together. That's the evidence of genuine conversion in Ruth. We sang that hymn, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." We can look at Ruth and say, there was where she was, now there is where she is. Changed by the power of God. Can that be said of us? Each one of us individually. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. You take the word as the Lord gives it to you. You apply it and you search your own heart with it. And you look at the word of God as that mirror before you. Is that where I am? Before God. Am I where I ought to be? Am I saved? Am I walking and obeying God's word? Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, for the clear change that there was in Ruth's life. We thank thee for that moment and when thou didst open up her heart. And O God, the glorious change in an instant that there was when Jesus came into her heart. Lord, we pray for each one that is here. Oh, Father, we pray that there will not be one false profession amongst us, but rather each one, there is that genuine conversion. They're changed. Not simply a man-made change, but a change of the power of God within them. Oh, Father, hear and answer prayer for each one. Bless thy word, that which has been of thee to every heart. Work within us, O God. Bring us again tonight with that desire again to worship, to fellowship one with the other. In Jesus' name, amen.